ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. And welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu. Today is July 11th, a beautiful Thursday. If you were tuned to the morning programs from the Sai Kuranth Hall this morning, you would have heard the beautiful Vedam and Bhajans sung by the Balvika students of Maharashtra and Goa. Tomorrow is Ashadi Ekadashi, the beautiful celebration wherein all the devotees from Maharashtra gather to celebrate the advent of Lord Vitthala, and it used to be every year such a vibrant festival, and it continues even now. And after that will come Guru Purnima, the landmark festival in the Prashanthi Nilayam calendar. Guru Purnima has always been an occasion wherein Bhagwan would reveal facets of his divinity. Swami would unravel new projects that he had willed for his mission. Swami would declare new initiatives of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. In fact, it was on Guru Purnima that Swami revealed his avatarhood way back in 1963. Swami told everyone, for the first time he declared that he is Shiva Shakti Swarupa. So I thought it would be a nice occasion for us to talk about the beautiful initiatives that have become part of the Sathya Sai movement now. For example, the bhajan movement. It was the first bhajan, Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam, the first bhajan was on Guru. And that is why Sai as Sadguru is so important in our lives. Sai is for us father, mother, friend, beloved, everything. But at the top is him being our Sadguru, our Guru, because he is the one who guides us, holds our hands and takes us to our goal. In the previous episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, I shared with you the first part of a conversation with Mrs. Samantakamani Bhasham, someone who was so blessed to be the instrument to gift the world the Vibhuti Mantra. It was through the group of devotees in the 1940s, which she was part of, that Swami slowly guided them into how Namavali should be part of bhajans, and that is how slowly the bhajan movement started. So in the previous episode, she shared about how Swami wanted Rama, Krishna, Govinda in the bhajans. Earlier to that, it was only kritis and songs which used to be sung. And then she told us, for the first time on Radio Sai, you heard the story of how the Vibhuti Mantra came into being. And after that, she went on to talk about how Bhagwan, in an interview, in the Pathamandiram days, one day, told her, when she was just 10 years old, that as long as you are alive, you will sing. And that is why, even though she was 82 when we did the recording, she was still singing with so much of versatility. It is a gift to listen to her listen to her songs, listen to her experience. It's a blessing indeed. So we'll continue this narration. In the previous episode, as I was mentioning, she also talked about how when she got married, she was always concerned that her husband was not a devotee. Generally, when couples get married in those days, they would come and together do Pada Puja to Swami, offer their gratitude to Swami and to worship to his feet. But since her husband was not a devotee, she missed some of those chances. But with time, Swami had told her that you will come here to me with your second child and your husband will come with you, and that is when I will name the child. So that is what Bhagwan had told her, and she was waiting for that to happen. And it did happen when her husband fell sick with chickenpox, and how she placed him on the bed under which she had kept Swami's robe. Under the pillow she had kept Swami's robe, and she wrote a letter to Swami seeking the health of her husband. And that letter that emanated from her heart, the moment she completed writing it, her husband was cured. And that miraculous recovery slowly changed the mind of her husband towards Swami. And so she goes on to share about how after that they came to Bhagwan. And she also talks about how Arati was in those days and her interactions with Mother Ishwarama and so on. So they are very, very lovely stories of this olden, golden era, 1940s and 50s, that Samanta Kamani Bhasham Aunty shared with us. So we'll continue this conversation. There are at least another 28 to 30 minutes, and after that I'll share with you some more stories of those times from the very beautiful book Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. It was written by Aunty Sucharita, who was a contemporary of Manibhasham Aunty, and Manibhasham Aunty was part of that group of devotees who started the Akhanda Bhajan way back in the 40s. So let's listen to Manibhasham Aunty, and then I'll come back to you with more stories of those beautiful yesteryears.
Long years I waited.
Did he narrate what happened to him in that moment when the recovery happened? You were praying, but after that he had faith in Swami.
Not suddenly. He developed faith later on a little bit. Oh, I was very sick.
And how did Swami I recover suddenly?
Swami has saved me.
That feeling came
to him. That feeling came to him. Then it was a very, very hard way which he learned his lesson.
Because he was going through so much
going
pain.
Going through so much pain. Anyway, that promise which he did, he gave an interview. We were transferred to Delhi. Before that, I was praying to Swami, Swami, I had to name my child to put her to school. When are you going to name her? In Bangalore we met, after the Akhanda Bhajan. He said, no, I'm not going to do it now. Your husband should come to Parthi. Oh, we had booked our tickets also to go to Delhi. Last day when we were sitting in the crowd, everybody is called for interview, not me. Swami, the previous day what I did was, I wrote a letter to Swami saying, send it with Venkama, Swami's sister.
Okay.
Venkama took it very kindly. She showed it to Swami. Swami read it seems, and then he, following day, almost everybody was called in. The last moment, before he entered the room, one step inside and he came, come. You people who are going to Delhi. Oh, that was really trying moment for us. Such a beautiful interview for half an hour, advising me and my husband how he used to be very, very angry. You should not be, get angry, he told him, because blood pressure will go up. And for me, he said, always you take out the old things and then fight with him. Don't take it out like that, he told, he advised me. And then, Swami, you have to name my child. So, my child was only 5 years, we used to call her Papu. And then he called her and he said, what name do you want? She said, Swami Lalita.
The girl said?
My daughter said, Lalita. She said, Lalita is old name, he keep Geetalata. Lata is a creper. Mm. Your father-in-law reads Bhagavad Gita always. So let us name her as Gita Lata, the creeper of the Bhagavad Gita. Then that was a beautiful, beautiful interview. I'm really grateful to Swami for having given me that kind of closeness to Swami. And then he has kept us still now.
Yes.
That is the greatest.
He blessed you with music till you can breathe.
Yeah.
He blessed you with faith and transformed your husband.
Yeah.
Amazing.
What more do I want? What more do I want? I don't need anything.
Andy, in those days, as you were saying, you composed many bhajans.
Yeah.
And you still, I mean, you even now sing. So, do you remember any more bhajans that you composed?
Yeah, like Kshirabdishena. Kasturi Ranga, have you heard?
Yeah, please sing, Andy.
Yeah. Kasturi Ranga also has a small history behind it, and then I'll let you. Kasturi Ranga, Kaveri Ranga, Sri Ranga Ranga Ranga. Kasturi Ranga, Kaveri Ranga, Sri Ranga Ranga Ranga. Kalyana Ranga, Karunanta Ranga, Kalyana Ranga, Karunanta Ranga, Sri Ranga Ranga Ranga. Garuda Gamana Ranga, Shesha Shayana Ranga, Garuda Gamana Ranga, Shesha Shayana Ranga, Sri Ranga Ranga Ranga. Sri Ranga Ranga Ranga, Kasturi Ranga, Kaveri Ranga, Sri Ranga Ranga Ranga. In Lal Bagh, the 25th anniversary of Akhanda Bhajans took place. Swami came in the evening. Crowd was so much, you know, you could not control the people. And the hall could not fold so many people. So what Swami did was, Swami went outside. And before that, when we were singing this Kasturi Ranga, he was going through lines, you know, giving Pada Namaskaram to people. When we sang this Kasturi Ranga, he just stopped there, complete, full stop. He listened to the whole bhajan and then moved on. And so the crowds were so big, Swami, what he thought, well, he went outside and then he sat on the bonnet of the car.
Oh my God.
To give darshan to everybody. And at that time, we were singing inside one bhajan, which Swami liked so much, it seems, because Sucharita was outside. She saw what was going on. I could not see. We were singing inside. Radha Vallabha, Radha Pyare, Bhakta Janon Ke Nanda Dulare, Bhakta Janon Ke Nanda Dulare, Keshava Madhava Krishna Murare, 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 Adhama Buddharana Naam Tumare, Adhama Buddharana Naam Tumare, Radha Vallabha, Radha Pyare. While we were singing this song, Keshava Madhava Krishna Murare, different variations we were singing. Swami was sitting on the bonnet and swaying to this way. And Sucharita comes and to the window and then she is signaling us, go on singing the same song. But we could not understand what she was trying to say. And Swami enjoyed it. And the following day when he came to Padmanabhan's house for again meeting all of us, that 25th anniversary of Akhanda Bhajan was the last, he said in public, saying that so far these six families have been always gathering together and then doing this anniversary function. Hereafter, this should become a global affair.
Oh.
He declared on that day.
Wow.
He said, every center, everywhere, you have to have Akhanda Bhajan for 24 hours. That's how the origin of Akhanda Bhajan.
Global Akhanda Bhajan started.
Started. So he declared that. And in Padmanabhan's house, he is sitting. My mother and Sundaramma and all, you know, old people who have been doing all this 25 years service, they felt really very bad saying that. Why should we lose this, right, Swami? We should do it. I said, no, beta, no. It should now be a global affair. Every house, every samiti, that Akhanda Jyoti should go on illuminating the whole world now. This is the time now. And then he wanted to listen to the same bhajans which we sang the previous day. All the bhajans which we sang, we again repeated. But he said, no, not this one, not this one, not this one. Then Radha Vallabha, pardon. Radha Vallabha, Radha Pyare. You know, he enjoyed those bhajans so much, I tell you. And we were in tears because then somebody said, why are they crying? They are not crying. It is Prema Bashpam. Prema Bashpam. It's Prema Bashpam.
You know. Heart is not able to contain the joy and the bliss.
Yeah, yeah. Ananda Bashpam.
Ananda Bashpam.
Ananda Bashpam, he said. Every bhajan which we sang, he sat and listened to it. Because he liked them so much.
Adi, in those days, was the arati the same as what is sung now? Or you had a different arati?
For a few years, Pavana Purusha was sung. It was introduced by one of the devotees, Jayamma. Swami said that this Pavana Purusha should be used for doing the arati.
Yeah, please sing.
పవన పురుష సాయిష శరణ రకవ సర్వేశ సౌమ్య రూప సత్య బాబా కౌదై కైముగివే పవన పురుష సాయిష శరణ రకవ సర్వేశ చిత్రవతి నది తీర నివాస శిష్ట జనావన ముని శరణ చిత్రవతి నది తీర నివాస శిష్ట జనావన ముని శరణ ఈశ జగత్రయ మోద వికాస సత్య సాయిష శ్రుతవర్ణ సత్య సాయిష శ్రుతవర్ణ భక్త పాలన శ్రుతవర్ణ పర్తివాస ఆశ్రుతవర్ణ జై సత్య సాయిష శ్రుతవర్ణ జై సత్య సాయిష శ్రుతవర్ణ.
So this was the arati also the 50s and 60s.
50s and 60s. Until Ramu and Lakshman came, they introduced this Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Even in our bhajans, regular bhajans, we used to do only Pavana Purusha. We had a format how you used to sing bhajans. Because of the kritis, the first few half an hour or so, we would sing the kritis, then change Ramavali. And then arati, Pavana Purusha. Then we used to make Swami sleep. That Uyala. That Jula songs also we used to sing. And then we would come home.
You remember the Jula song?
Yeah. Tejo maya chidvilasa Dina jana saurakshaka Tejo maya chidvilasa Dina jana saurakshaka Rajendra, Ravindra, Surendra. Rajendra, Ravindra, Surendra. Narendra, Narayana. Jo, 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 jo. Sakala Shastra Satsara Sahasra Namankita Kara Sakala Shastra Satsara Sahasra Namankita Kara Akalanka Shubhanga Sriranga Akalanka Shubhanga Sriranga Sringara Vadana jo 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 hrudaya kamala uyalalo purushottama pavanimpumu hrudaya kamala uyalalo purushottama pavanimpumu paramesh partish siddhish paramesh partish siddhish papanash jo 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 satya sai natha jo 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 jo. Used to sing several jhula songs, one of them.
Mm-hmm. So this was not on the regular bhajan sessions, the jhula song?
I mean Thursday bhajans.
Thursday bhajans.
Mm-hmm. Thursday bhajans. Format was Ganesha songs, then a few namavalis, at the end aarti, and then jhula.
Then jhula song.
Jhula.
Wow, amazing. Auntie, you also would have seen the origin of so many festivals.
Yeah.
All the festivals that we see in Prashantilayam today, be it the birthday, be it the Dasara, I think they all would have started in those times, isn't it?
Sure,
in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
you remember some of those times?
Navaratri, Shivaratri, Swami's birthday, and when Akhand Bhajan started, Akhand Bhajan also here. And mostly this Shivaratri, Navaratri was important, Swami's birthday.
Yes.
They were the functions and we used to come here. So Navaratri, that year when Prashanti Nilayam was inaugurated, the flooring was also not done. Mm-hmm. Only carpets were spread.
Oh, okay.
So we had to sit there on the carpet. And in line, all the ladies, we used to sit and we did Kunkumarchanam.
Mm-hmm.
Swami's Ashtotra Namavani. We did Kunkumarchanam. Swami was sitting there. And then and bhajans as usual, he used to do. And Shivaratri throughout the night. And Lingodbhavam later on, not before that.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in life, Lingodbhavan took place. It was only Shiva's bhajans, and in one of Shivaratri bhajans, my mother and then Sundaramma, they could not travel. Swami was so kind, he said, he wrote a letter saying that Shivaratri bhajans, very important, all of you have to come, leave off your families and then you come here to do the bhajans. Sundaramma, Janakamma, everybody, all of them came. Sometimes we used to accompany our parents, our mothers. Sometimes we used to be left behind and then they would come and then do the bhajans. That's how Shivaratri bhajans.
Swami was very keen that everyone comes.
Everyone. And you know, these four or five families which were right from the beginning.
Beginning, yes.
Were there. So
I mean, the bhajan movement itself started with this.
That is it.
And you remember how Navaratri used to be in those days, auntie, because we read a lot of description about it in different books.
So, all the 9 days, bhajans, and then the 9th day, Swami, as I told you, he used to come in the ratham,
the rathotsavam. On the chariot,
Swami used to sit. And fully decorated Swami in those days, you know, white, pitambaram, and then, you know, he would wear all those, sometimes even the jewelry. Chain and I think she would sit on the throne there, and then the whole Ratatsum would start from the old mandir, and we used to come on this, what is that road called?
Gopuram,
Gopuram road. We used to walk, and while going we would sing bhajans, we would sing songs. He used to sit there and then ask, sing that song, sing this song. And once it, when it happened, he took a full of flowers and just threw it.
Mm-hmm.
All became coins.
Oh.
Sai coins.
What coins? Sai coins. Swami's face.
Swami's face.
Swami's face as he used to, looking then.
Yeah, with hair.
With hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He would throw. Mm-hmm. Once he threw that. Mm-hmm. And we all got one coin. And sometimes he would show his glory. The vibhuti would appear on his forehead.
Oh.
Sometimes kumkumam.
Oh, okay.
Kumkum also used to come. We could see that. And he would put his hair back like that.
Oh.
And then everybody, we all used to go into that kind of bliss.
Mesmerizing.
Yeah, of course. That is the advantage of coming to Swami earlier.
When you had the chance.
You were all not born.
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think that was the Leela phase of...
Leela phase.
Of Bhagavan.
Yeah, that's Leela. I should not call it as a miracle, but he is incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend what he was, what his divinity was. Everybody took him for granted in those days. And treated him like, come Swami, you sit here Swami. You know, we treated him like a friend. Like a friend, Sakha.
But he also loved it, isn't he?
He loved it, he loved it.
Yeah, he wanted and that...
He wanted that prema from all his devotees. My mother and, you know, Ishwarama used to keep oil on his head on birthdays. First Ishwarama used to do and then Venkama do and then Sundarama used to do and my mother also has done it. Keeping oil. That's Abhyanjanam Snanam.
Yes.
On his birthday.
Yes.
Anointing. That she has done it. She has done it.
What memories you have of Mother Ishwarama?
Mother Ishwarama, I'm very frank with you. We did not realize that she is the mother of God. We never realized. She used to come to bhajan, and as I told you, the small chal where, you know, where small kitchens were there, she used to come and sit with us. She loved children. All of us, we would go and then we would talk to her, and then she would inquire about every family, whether you got married or you have children, all those family inquiries she would do, and she would talk to us. And she, every day she would come bringing, I mean, Venkama used to bring food for Swami, and along with her, she would also come and sit and chat with us. As I told you, we never, Ishwarama's elevation into the mother of the God, later on it came. We never realized.
That point, because she was also so simple.
She was also simple. And her fear, only fear was, Swami should not go abroad, should not go out. She wanted protection, to protect her child.
That motherly love.
Motherly affection. Motherly affection was there.
And she was like, as you were saying, when she was like a mother to everyone. Also.
A mother to everyone. Mother to everyone. And she would talk to my mother and Sundarama sitting there on the floor. She would come to that kitchen. And if we offer something, she would eat also. She was such a simple lady. Some very simple lady.
So, people used to come and touch her feet and all that? No.
Never, I'm telling you, never realized we should have done it. I feel so bad. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah. But then, I mean, you have had the chance to talk to her and be with her. I mean,
yeah, be with her.
Yes.
She would talk very common things like, you know, naturally when ladies meet.
Yes.
How they talk.
Yeah.
She was like that.
And she also was always very shy.
She was very shy, very shy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if people went and if they had prostrated, she would not have liked it.
Perhaps so.
Wow. So you kept coming to Parthi through the 50s and the 60s, aunty?
Until 63, until I went to Aligarh, I always used
to... What was the last time Swami spoke to you?
That is Swami, though indirectly he used to talk about me, but directly that was the interview which I told you.
Yes.
For half an hour he told me,
yes.
Personally talked. And then he indicated, afterwards I had an interview. In that interview, he asked about my husband's health. I told Swami he has diabetes. Koncham diabetes, I said. Not koncham. Too much diabetes and blood pressure and heart. He touched his heart and he said, I knew what he was trying to convey to me. 6 years later on, when he passed away, I knew, he indicated to me quite before his death that he is going to die. So, koncham emi, too much diabetes and too much of blood pressure. And then he touched his heart itself and that was a warning which was given to me. And then when I took the Padanamaskaram, he gave in my sari lots of vibhuti. In a bag, you know, he had. He put so much vibhuti into my lap, in my sari, this thing. And then Paira, that's all. That was the last interview. But indirectly, in Bangalore, Balvika's children, several times I taught them a few songs. So, Ishwarama Day, he used to be in Bangalore always. For a few years.
Oh, okay.
Always he used to be in Bangalore and Balvika's children would give a program. And I had taught twice a few bhajans, few songs. Not bhajans, songs. Complete. And those songs, when they sang, it seems he asked, who taught them? So I remembered. My Nimma, Chinnapanninchi, right from her childhood, she has been composing. He said it seems to Padmanabhan.
To Padmanabhan.
Padmanabhan, yeah.
When you really belong to that close group.
Close.
Yeah, Seshagiri Rao's family. Because we hear some of these stories from Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram.
Yeah, Geeta Mohan Ram also. She is actually my son's age. She was not born. Of all things what we have enjoyed, she has not seen.
Yeah. From whatever she narrates itself, it is so fantastic.
So fantastic.
And really grateful to Swami that, you know, now... Even at this age, you remember so many things and you can sing so well. Let us always blessing.
They're etched in my mind.
Yes, yeah, yes. These are memories.
Complete.
That will always
remain. I cannot even forget any one of them.
So even in Canada now you continue to sing.
Yeah, I continue to sing, but there's a small bhajan group there. I go every Thursday and then I sing.
Wonderful. Aunty, when Swami left his physical form, how was that moment for you?
Like everybody else, we all felt his absence because we were so close to him. Now suddenly physical absence was too much to tolerate. But at the same time, I realized that having come down, his avataric mission is completed. So he has left. But he has never left us. Though physically he has left. Every moment of our life, we can feel his presence always. For example, meeting you on that day and giving this interview itself is Swami's grace, you know. Until he made his sankalpa, it would not have taken place. I'm sure. As I told you, I wanted to go away on that day itself. Something made me stay.
Swami's blessing on all of us. So you continue to feel him all the time.
All the time. Anytime I go. And he is everywhere. Though with our finite sense organs, we may not be able to grasp that infinity, but still that presence is always behind us. Entane, jentane, kantane. That's always there.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Aunty.
Sai Ram.
For coming to the studios, and we are really grateful to Swami that this happened. He blessed us with this beautiful satsang. You really took us back to those days.
I'm eternally grateful to Swami for having chosen me an instrument to spread his mission, to spread his words. I'm always, my heartfelt pranams at his lotus feet, always. Sai Ram.
So that was Samantaka Mani Bhashyam Aunty. She belongs to that group of 6 to 7 families from Bangalore who started this bhajan movement, part of the Seshagiri Rao family. Mr. Seshagiri Rao was the first pujari of the Prashanti Nilayam Sanctum Sanctorum. And her mother. And you had Seshagiri Rao's daughters who came to Prashanti Nilayam first. Sundaramma, Sharadamma. Swami used to call these two, the daughter of Seshagiri Rao, Swami used to call them as Patalammailu, the two ladies who sing. And Sundarama's daughter is Srimati Sucharita, and Aunty Mani Bhashyam is a contemporary, a friend of Sucharita. In fact, there's a very beautiful book, Sri Satisai Madhura Smriti, which is written by Sucharita Aunty, C. Sucharita, wherein she mentions about what Mani Bhashyam Aunty today spoke, those beautiful leelas. Even though those 6 to 7 families were largely Seshagiri Rao's family, but Mani Bhashyam Aunty also was in that group. Swami recognized her always to be part of that chosen group. In Madhura Smriti, Sri Satisai Madhura Smriti, Sucharita Aunty talks about those days. The Patha Mandiram, as it is called now, came up in late 1945. Until then, Swami used to stay in Karnam Subbamma's house. And slowly as the devotees increased, Swami wanted the Pada Mandiram. And the day before the opening of the Pada Mandiram, which is today, the Padda Venkaparaju Kalyana Mandapam, the first temple of Prashantanilayam, first residence of Bhagwan. So the day before the inauguration of the Pada Mandiram, the devotees were very excited and they were involved in the preparation. And as a gift to all the devotees, to their utter delight, Swami said that he would spend the night with those chosen devotees. So there was a large hall. In that large hall, gents were sleeping on one side of Bhagwan. On the other side, there were ladies. And Swami spent that night long time talking to them. There was a little platform in the center of the hall. That is where Bhagwan rested. On one side are the men devotees, other side the women devotees, and Swami spending time with them. That is how Swami blessed these devotees the night prior to the inauguration of the Pada Mandiram. The next morning, Swami was taken in a procession from Subbamma's house to the mandir. It was a grand affair. And from that morning, Swami started staying in the Pada Mandiram. Puttaparthi remained a tiny hamlet until 1948-49, with no direct transportation, no motorable roads, no electricity, no tap water, and so on. But no one really thought about these inconveniences, because the kind of proximity that you got with Swami was something unimaginable. There were no specific darshan schedules, no regular interview schedules. Anyone, any devotee could see Swami at any point in time, could talk to him at anywhere, hear him any time of the day. Time appeared to stand still. That is how golden those days were. Swami would go to Chitravati sands for his outings. They would go trekking onto the hill. There used to be Vanabhojanam outing programs, you know, where they all picnic sort of outings on the river bed. And Auntie Sucharita remembers many incidents which happened during that era, which instilled firm faith in their hearts about Bhagwan's divinity. And also the way Swami was slowly cultivating their hearts. One particular incident that happened during 1946-47, the old mandir could not accommodate the ever-increasing number of devotees who came to Puttaparthi. So it was planned by elders with Swami's permission to construct an additional hall in front of the Pada Mandiram as an extension. That was supposed to have a zinc sheet as its roof. So a couple of devotees got busy making this hall. So as the construction was going on, there were a lot of wooden pieces which were around the construction area. So as youngsters, these little girls, Auntie Sucharita and Auntie Manibhasham, all these who were probably at that point in time just 10, 12, 13, that kind of age. Sucharita Auntie came to Swami when she was 5 years old. So these youngsters, probably 8 to 10 of them, all aged around 8 to 10 years, they got this idea to build a make-believe house from those wooden pieces. How little girls play. So they collected these wooden pieces of assorted sizes and they wanted to make a house. Now they had seen a couple of houses where Swami used to stay whenever he came to Bengaluru. They had seen Sakama's house, a great devotee of Bhagwan. So they thought, okay, let's make a house like Sakama's house for Swami. And that house had a huge garden. So they happily went about building this house by arranging these wooden pieces. And then as they were doing that, they got new ideas and they thought, no, let's have a separate room for Swami. Maybe we'll have a separate bhajan hall where bhajans can happen. So they were giving flight to their imagination and making this house out of those scattered, discarded wooden pieces. And when it came to Swami's room, okay, say, let's make a bed, let's make a chair, let's make a table. And for the inauguration function, there were many invitation cards that were printed, and in that some Swami's pictures were there. So they cut these pictures and they placed it in that make-believe house. So they were all completely absorbed in that game. And suddenly, they heard Swami's voice right behind them. And Swami's saying, hey children, what are you playing? And they were actually taken aback because they were so lost into their own game. So they just stood up with folded hands and, you know, they just grinned sheepishly. They didn't know what to tell because they were just playing some game. And I said, no, tell me what you're playing. And those children said, Swami, the illata, this is a home game. This is a game where we make homes. And Swami asked, okay, you're making a home. Whose home are you making? So they said, Swami, we are making Sakama's house, Swami. Sakama's house where you stayed. Sakama's house. So Swami came closer. Swami had a nice look at the model that this little heart had created. And then looking at a devotee by name Krishna, Swami said, Chudura Krishna, I pillalaku ఆటలలోనూ స్వామి చింతనే. ఈ పిల్లలకు ఆటలలోనూ స్వామి చింతనే. దీస్ చిల్డ్రన్, సీ కృష్ణ, దీస్ చిల్డ్రన్, ఈవెన్ వెన్ దే ఆర్ ప్లేయింగ్, దే ఆర్ ఓన్లీ థింకింగ్ అవుట్ స్వామి, బికాస్ వెన్ దే హ్యాడ్ టు మేక్ ఎ హౌస్, దే వాంటెడ్ టు మేక్ ఎ హౌస్ ఫర్ స్వామి. And the pride with which Swami said those words thrilled these children. And they knew that this is what Swami likes. Swami was subtly conveying to them how you should all the time keep thinking only about the divine. In fact, Swami called these children, he blessed them and he said, Bangaru, Adukondi, Chala Santosham, go and play. I am very happy. Very happy. So that is how in little innocent hearts Swami was instilling that what God wants is our mind should always be centered on Him. And that gave such a joy, such a boost to these children that Swami Himself appreciated their play. And they went on to see what else should they do to get that affection from Swami, to get that bangaru from Swami, those affectionate words from Swami, that look of pride. So one day they saw that there was a mentally retarded girl, a young girl by name Ramakka. So she was also staying near the Patha Mandiram. She was, even though mentally retarded, a very nice girl, harmless. She used to just spend all her time in front of the mandir, playing in the sand. And being a little mentally challenged, she would keep singing all to herself, sometimes loudly, sometimes softly. But she would not harm anyone. So one day, Swami saw her. Swami went straight up to her and Swami said, Ramakka, how are you? And she said, Bagunanu Swami, I am fine, she said. Then Swami said to Ramakka, Ramakka, won't you sing a song for me? Swami is asking Ramakka, won't you sing a song for me? And this girl, she started a beautiful Telugu song, a song describing Hanuman asking Mother Sita how she managed to live or stay all by herself in the Ashokavana during those years of torture by Ravana. And the way she sang it with so much of innocence, so much of melody, Swami stood there and listened to her. Swami was so happy. Swami said, Bagundi, 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 very nice, very nice. Imagine what it will do to her mental state. She might be mentally retarded for the people around, but for Bhagavan, her soul was in communion with the divine. Swami said, it is very nice. Your song is very nice. And once Swami did that, all these little children who were around, they said, oh, Swami likes these songs. So we should also learn. So Swami was blessing Ramakka as well as inspiring all these little children what he likes, what he wants. And so all these children went and they learned that song from Ramakka because they also wanted to be loved by Swami. They also wanted to hear that word Bagundi, Bangaru from Swami. In those days, yearly Akhanda Bhajan sessions used to be in Bengaluru. And it is these families who used to organize that. And organizing these Akhanda Bhajan was such a privileged opportunity for these families. With all excitement, they would go about making preparations for this. It was such a novel thing for 24 hours way back. We are talking about 1940s, singing bhajans. And all the youngsters, they enjoyed taking part in all the aspects of the Akhanda Bhajan celebrations. The elders used to fast on Thursdays. So one Thursday during the Akhanda Bhajan, around noon, the elders asked all the youngsters to go for lunch. They used to just have only fruits, very light food. So all the children went and to the dining room and they were happily eating lunch, and suddenly the door opened and in came Bhagavan, and the children were trying to stand up, and Swami said, okay, no problem. In a soft but firm tone, Swami said, good, no problem, sit down. And then Swami said, bhajan is going on there and you are all enjoying bhojan here, very good. So Swami said that and he went. It was a soft but firm statement, and all these children thought maybe Swami did not like us to happily be eating here when bhajans are going on there. And they all decided that they will also eat less. They will also just eat fruits and be part of their Akhanda Bhajan, spend as much time as possible in the bhajans. So like this, in little manner, Swami was instilling in them what it is to keep your mind on the divine. The elders were very ritualistic. They all had very religious background, so they used to do their daily morning prayers, formal pujas, very strictly. But they never asked these children to follow that. So during one Akhanda Bhajan, the children got involved again in all these preparatory sessions. And Swami used to be very pleased with the whole program of 3 days from Wednesday to Friday morning, starting from getting ready for the function right up to the winding up. Everywhere the children used to be very involved. And Swami would ask the organizers of the program to get together, and he would give them a chance to be with him on the last day. And they all would have the chance to do Pada Puja, offer worship to his feet together. So once while speaking to the organizers after the Pada Puja, Swami looked at all these children and Swami made a startling statement. He said, arise, awake and get going and shape yourselves. Arise, awake, get going and shape yourselves. And that is how Swami was in fact doing this, through his little acts, encouraging them to see how their mind will be on God. And here directly he was telling, You have to awaken to that consciousness. Arise, awake, and shape yourselves. And then Swami said in a very appreciative manner, children all are very good. Though they don't bother to do the regular daily prayer sessions in their routine, but they do enough work during these 3 days. Swami was very happy. He said, good children, good children. But at the same time, he also mentioned the fact that the children are not doing daily prayer. So, some children thought that there is a message there for them that they should also do daily prayers. And so all the children started this good habit of doing every morning prayer session. In fact, for most of these children, almost all of these children, Swami had done the Akshara Abhyasam. Their education started with Swami's blessings. And once you have that kind of a start, so prayer slowly became a part of their routine. So they also got into this habit of doing morning prayers religiously. And as these little children became mothers and grandmothers, they instilled these values in their children. So Auntie Sucharita writes, on Bhagwan's birthday on 23rd November 2009, she was at Parthi enjoying Bhagwan's birthday, and she was to leave the next morning, that is November 24th, 2009, by 6 a.m. bus. She was supposed to go to Bengaluru. The previous day, around 10 o'clock in the night, 10 p.m. on 23rd, her second daughter, Aladini, called her from Bangalore, and as she was speaking to her mom, she mentioned one strange event that had happened that morning in her house. Now, Auntie Sucharita has two children, the elder one, 6-year-old, by name Gauri, and a 3-year-old boy, Krishna. And as I just mentioned to you, she had taught her children to say the prayers after bath, before breakfast, before going to school. Now, Aladini has these two children, Gauri and Krishna. So, Sucharita, auntie's daughter, Aladini, calls and says this is what happened to her. So, the little boy, Krishna, tells Aladini, Sucharita, auntie's daughter, Mummy, I will sing happy birthday to Baba today. Because it was Swami's birthday. And so, Krishna and Gauri, both of them join, the granddaughters, the grandchildren of Sucharita auntie, they join. And on the birthday morning, they sing to Swami, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Swami. And in their innocence, they also wished Swami a long life in the same childish way. And Aladini had a gentle laugh. But she was so happy with the way the children were celebrating Swami's birthday in their own way. But suddenly the cute fellow told something to her mom, Aladini, which left her nonplussed. So she said, Mummy, will he send me birthday cake? At least a little? Because I sang happy birthday to Baba. Will Baba send me birthday cake? Now Aladini did not know what to tell her little one. She just changed the topic and told her, it's getting late for school, you go to school. But she was very touched with her son's innocent question. But then she had thought that probably she will do something about it. And once Aladini told this to Sucharita auntie, now auntie was thinking probably she will take some cake on her way back home so that the children are not disappointed. The little one, the grandson, had asked, will Swami send a birthday cake? She thought, at least I will buy some cake and take. So on 24th morning, she's returning now, she's seated in the bus along with one of her Sai sisters. And even before the bus could start, this Sai sister Kusuma Kumari took out from her bag a small packet which said and said, "Take Swami's prasadam." So Sucharita aunty said, "Yesterday we all had prasadam in the mandir. What is this supposed to be?" And then this Kusuma Kumari, her friend, says her neighbor is an old student of Swami's college, and all these old boys had taken a birthday cake to Swami, which Swami had personally graciously cut. And she says that, "I have got a little of that birthday cake," and she's very happy to share that with her. You can imagine what will be the state of Sucharita aunty. Tears just flowed. She was unable to control how Swami responds to the prayers, innocent prayers from pure hearts. So these are moments that they had experienced during their direct physical interaction with Swami in the 40s, but now it's happening in 2009 with their grandchildren. So wherever there is purity, there you can feel the divine's proximity. All Swami is interested in is that purity, that sincerity, that devotion. And it has happened so many times. Whenever children have come together and done something out of their love for Swami, like for example during Akhand Bhajan in Bengaluru, mid-60s, the venue was Gayana Samaj on KR Road. The crowd became unwieldy and the bhajan hall was packed to over capacity. So some of these youth of this group, they got together and they organized themselves into a group of volunteers and they maintained discipline and order. This is of course much earlier to the concept of Sevadals and all that I'm talking about. Early 60s, Sevadals as an institution started in the later half of 1960s. But Swami was so happy with the way this group of youngsters organized the crowd. Swami called all of them and appreciated them. They had the chance to do Pada Puja to Swami. So wherever there was this sincere attitude to offer something to Swami, wherever the children kept Swami as priority, that is when Swami went out of the way to let them know that this is what he wants in their life, and once that is there, he takes care of them, just like Swami has continued to take care of every member of this family, Sishagiri Rao family. For 7 generations, Swami said, "I will look after," and that is what has happened. Over time, so many children of these families became students and they continued. Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram is one of the members of this family, and all these children, what they had experienced, what their grandfather, grandmother had experienced with Bhagwan, now they are experiencing it. But Swami does it in his own sweet, inimitable way. There are many more such very powerful stories, very sweet stories and very revealing moments of how we can fill our life with sweetness. I pray to Swami that we can continue this satsang in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Antmani Bhasham has started off, taken us back to those days, and let us spend time learning, let us spend time instilling in ourselves these lessons and make our lives Madhuram, Sai Madhuram. Thank you so much. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. We'll be very happy to read your comments. You can send also to our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. We received many beautiful feedback to the previous episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside, where you heard the conversation with Aunty Mani Bhasham, and those feedback that we received has encouraged us to make a video. So we had shot this video, so very soon, probably tomorrow, you will see on the Radio Sai website the video of the first part of the conversation with Aunty Mani Bhasham. Thank you so much for being with us through this journey. Let us spread His love, His glory and His joy to everyone all the time. Thank you so much. Sayonara.